you can still see how colonial history from the Spanish conquerors still lives on in many Latin American countries. Coming up, author Marie Arana tells us how. We'll also explore the atypical Spanish region of Galicia, where the biggest tourist scene is with pilgrims walking to Santiago de Compostela. Let's start today's Travel with Rick Steves with the role a little pepper from the New World plays in the tasty cuisine of Hungary. Paprika is the backbone of Hungarian cooking, as the crucial ingredient in chicken paprikash and hearty Hungarian stews. From mild to hot, we'll find out why this spice is so central to Hungarian identity, how to best buy some paprika on your trip, and we're going to learn how you can spice up your own meals as well. To get this education in Hungarian paprika, we're joined by two guides in our studio from Hungary, Anna Leonard and George Farkas. Anna and George, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, it's a thrill to be here.
Well, thank you for coming all the way from Budapest to our studio here. A long trip. And we're going to talk about paprika. I mean, when we think of Hungary, we don't know a lot about Hungary sometimes, but we think of paprika. What's the connection?
Actually, paprika is a strong connection because it is actually from the American continent. And it was the physician of Cristoforo Colombo or Columbus who brought it to the old world. Not to Hungary, of course, but to Spain. Huh. But through the commercial roads of the Mediterranean Sea, it got to the Ottoman Empire. And when the Ottoman Empire extended its political power to Eastern Central Europe, we got not only bad things, but we also got good things like the paprika or the coffee.
So paprika and coffee came as your time in the Ottoman Empire, and paprika actually from America via Columbus.
Actually, yes. So I like teasing our tour members and American tourists that why to travel here by flying through the
But I like my paprika
ocean.
In Hungary. There's something romantic about having paprika in Hungary. And why does Hungary embrace paprika? What does it mean to a Hungarian?
First of all, we have great microclimate, lots of sunshine. And what is very important, that when we got the paprika, it was a hot spice. And it was the Hungarians who grew the mild version of it. It is from the 1920s, when in a small Hungarian town, Szeged, it was kind of discovered. And since then, if you come to our covered market hall, you can always buy two versions, the mild paprika and the hot paprika.
Okay. Now, George, when I go to Budapest, I always go to the big market hall.
Right.
What is the name of that hall again?
Vásárcsarnok in Hungarian. Big market hall, central market hall.
You can't miss it when you're a tourist.
No, no, no.
It's incredible.
That's the first one out of five, actually, that they built at the time.
And what you're going to find is, everything that a Hungarian cook would want to find, but
right.
You'll certainly find peppers. What are you going to see when you look for the peppers in the market?
Well, actually, you're not looking for peppers. You're looking for paprika.
Oh, paprika. Yeah. That's right.
Yes.
So it's already
because
pressed.
It is basically a huge difference because many people don't realize that in Hungary, everything is called paprika. Let it be round, fat, skinny, red, yellow, sweet and hot.
So I'm a little bit confused then. So because is it a pepper? Or
it is a pepper, but we call it paprika. But
okay.
We also call the powder paprika.
Yes, because when I think of peppers in my supermarket, we've got yellow ones and green ones and
right.
Red ones.
And that all of that we call paprika, even okay. If it's any shape, really.
And then you have it already powdered.
If you're looking for the paprika that you cook with,
yeah.
It is powdered, yes.
Okay, so.
And it's a very unique technique to powder because one of the things that you have to be extremely careful with how you approach paprika. Once you grind paprika, after all the time you spent with it to become dry and ready to grind, you have to do it very slowly because as soon as you pick up speed, you burn the paprika. And that remains throughout its lifetime because once you come to cook it, again, you have to be very careful with it, not to burn it, because then you just have to start it all over again.
Tour guides from Budapest, Anna Leonard and George Farkas, are filling us in on the importance of paprika in the cuisine of Hungary right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Okay, so when we're talking about this paprika, Anna, I think it goes back to the days when spices were really important. I mean, spice was big money in the early days of trade.
Even today.
Today.
But at that time,
but
yes.
Originally, now, why was spices in general very important economically for people?
Well, it was a very important product. It was expensive. At that time, it was not so easy to fly from one continent to other. A trip took months.
But is it a matter of making food more interesting, or is it a matter of preserving food?
Actually, spices first got to the highest aristocracy, those who had the opportunity to get products from far, far away. And paprika also first was introduced for the highest aristocracy in Hungary. Mm-hmm. After, people realized it is not poisonous, because first it was considered as a poison. And when they discovered that it has healing effect, you know, it healed cholera and scurvy, after it, they started to make its production, but it was a rarity, and it was very expensive.
So wait a minute. So at first it was just for the very wealthy, and then you learned that it helped as medicine against scurvy and cholera.
Yes, but also medication very often is a privilege of the wealthier class, not available for everybody.
Well, some people would say that's the way it is in our country right now.
I didn't want to say. You can't say things like this.
Okay, but eventually they learned the value of peppers and paprika, and they produced more of it.
Yes, yes, and just like every scientific discovery or every product from other continents, it slowly got to the middle class and lower class, and it became popular in our country.
Okay, now, George, you sound like you're a cook, and when you go to the market, you get your paprika.
Yes.
What are you going to cook? What's your favorite thing to cook with paprika?
Well, I think we need to just step back for a minute to understand that you have two main streams of paprika when you're talking about the powder cooking paprika. So there is hot and sweet. Mm-hmm. And even zooming out a little bit, you have smoked and non-smoked. I think if you want to, first of all, decide what you want to do, you want to cater to the family. Once you're catering to the family, you want to cook something that everyone is good to eat.
Ah.
So mainly, I would say 90% of Hungarian households will go for the non-smoked sweet paprika, which doesn't actually mean it is sweet. It is a mild taste.
Does not taste. Go hot.
Exactly. Because then after, you always have a chance to make it hot.
And
then,
by adding more?
By adding spices. So we have something which is called Erős Pista, Strong Steven, which is like a paprika paste. And then you add a little more to your already cooked dish, and then it becomes hot. But the others can actually enjoy. So now you know, you're looking for your non-smoked sweet paprika, and then you're going down the aisle, like you're going down the streets of the market, stall after stall, and then you think you're gonna make a good choice by passing the first one, the second, the third, going down the street, and you're trying to find a good deal. And then by the time you get down to the bottom of it, you might realize that all of them are owned by the same family. It's a good business, really.
It's a big business in Budapest, I would imagine. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Anna Leonard and George Farkas, two guides from Hungary, from Budapest. And we're talking about paprika in Hungary. And you can email us anytime at radio@ricksteves.com. And Anne from Nixa, Missouri, emailed us. And Anne writes, is it true that most of the paprika sold in Hungary is now imported from other countries? George, what is the deal? You just were shopping for paprika. Do you care that it was born, raised in Hungary?
Oh, of course you do, yes. What you want to do, especially as a local, just to flip the packaging and make sure that the ingredients is 100% Hungarian. If you are a very traditional Hungarian family with grandma and nannies and you know, a big family background, then you're going down the stream of not buying paprika anywhere, but from the very source that your family has been using for years. And you wait for the date for that to be delivered, and you're buying like three big bags for the next year's supply, and then you make sure that you keep it in a tin can in a dark, cool place. So it is a tradition for some families. I mean, modern families now actually do go down to the supermarket and pick one up. And again, how much paprika do you buy for the year? How much do you cook? And once you're buying paprika, I always tell to my guest, two members, you need to decide what you're after. Do you just want to sprinkle a little bit on your fried eggs in the morning, or do you actually want to make a goulash?
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Big George and Sweet Anna. And we're talking about paprika. Now, when you're thinking about Hungary, we think about goulash. Tell me the fine points of goulash. What makes a good goulash, and how does that relate to paprika?
Actually, I love goulash, and we say goulash, not goulash, which is goulash. A bit tricky because we have this letter in the Hungarian alphabet. Guyash is a rich soup which was originally made in open fire outside in the fields where there were shepherds and other people who took care of the animals. So it is really not a kind of food to cook at home and to serve in restaurants. And that's why even today, if you go to a really good restaurant, very often they serve it for you in a small pot. And in case of guyash soup, we add beef. But we can also make chicken guyash or turkey guyash. It's possible, but the traditional guyash soup
or
is
lamb.
Usually beef. Lamb.
Finally, George, you sound like you've got this such a passion for goulash and it's such a sensitive sort of, it can't be this way, it can't be that way. If you do a blind test of several different paprikas, do you actually, what do you taste and what is good and what is not good?
I think you want to sort of look for the value, like your taste it and how, like when you have a nice glass of wine, is it full-bodied? So you're actually looking for like a full-bodied nice paprika, and again based on your
and if it's
taste,
old or if it's too burned or something,
it then just, it becomes like sour.
It's disappointing,
and it doesn't taste good. If you miss a step, if you make it too fast, and you burn your paprika, some tend to overlook and continue, but then you just ruin all your ingredients. So like, you know, to put a big amount of beef on burnt paprika is actually a crime because you won't be able to eat it. It's going to end up in a bin.
It will have this sour taste.
Yes. And also I think what's important just to acknowledge that guyash is a soup. So basically not a stew. And many, I think most parts of the world, when they talk about guyash, they think of a stew.
Oh, they do. As to in Austria, if you ask for guyash, they serve you stew.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So the real guyash that you'll get in Hungary is a soup.
Well, we think that our guyash is the real one.
Well, I
mean,
it is,
actually.
I think it would be. But bottom line, the most important thing is, I think it's fair to say, life is too short for bad paprika.
Oh, or bad guyash.
George Farkas, Anna Leonard, thanks so much for giving us a little better appreciation of paprika and Hungarian cuisine.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Understanding your history helps you better grasp the issues your country wrestles with today. Up next, Marie Arana helps us explore the influences on Latin America before and after the Spanish conquest, right through the pressures corporate interests exert there today. And later in the hour, get ready to explore Galicia in northwestern Spain. It's Travel with Rick Steves.